This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Questions surrounding the availability of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's currently in the NFL's concussion protocol. But according to 610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco, he says there are other concerns for the Chiefs.
Is it weird to say that I'm more concerned about some other injuries than I am about Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick's going to play on Sunday. There's really no doubt in anybody's mind right now. And that was kind of the feel coming out of the game on, you know, Sunday. And I honestly think there's more concern about his toe than there is about the whole concussion thing. So I think from a Mahomes standpoint, he's going to be out there. He's going to play. But the one that I think, you know, is not getting enough conversation is Breshad Breeland, one of their starting defensive backs, who left the game with a concussion as well. And he's a very valuable piece to the Chiefs defense, and the way that Buffalo's been throwing the ball all over the place, got a bunch of wide receivers that can get you. He's the type of guy you want out there and playing. And so he's kind of the one that I'm really keeping my eye on this week when it comes to an injury standpoint of who may miss and who could be a valuable piece if they're not playing in this game.
610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco on My Guys of the Desert, heard weekdays 5 to 7 Eastern on VSIN. The Kansas City Chiefs are the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. Breshad Breeland, concussion in the divisional round win over the Browns. He had 2 picks and 9 passes defended in the regular season, 6 tackles and a pass defended in the win over the Browns. He remains in the NFL's concussion protocol as well. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, Mitch and Paulie discuss the line for this matchup and when will Bill's money show up.
And more discussion about where this number will go. And I know Johnny Avello and others have said they expect Chiefs money once we find out, and it looks like it's going to be Mahomes. I'm not so sure about that, though, because as Mike Baum said yesterday, we talked about on Monday's show, how about all the Browns money? If they're going to bet the Browns like that, double-fisted, why won't they bet the Bills? Because everyone knows this, that the Bills are a machine right now, and they're 9-1 ATS in their last 10. Kansas City's 0-8-1 ATS slide. Again, they haven't covered since the Jets game November 1st. Bills are getting it done every week, and not to mention what they're doing straight up, with the exception of the Hail Murray. I mean, they're hot. And every time you go to the window and say, give me Buffalo, you're cashing tickets. Every time you go to the window, you're betting the Chiefs, you're losing.
Yeah.
I mean, people remember that. And then you just saw, you know, again, it's 19-3 at halftime. And then he gets hurt, and you know what happens. But they bet that down to 7.5. If they're going to bet the Browns, they're going to bet the hottest team in the league.
That's what I thought, too. I mean, I thought I'll go back to Sunday when Mahomes did not get hurt yet. He's still in the game, and books had Chiefs up -4. I thought, oh, my God, money's going to come in on the Bills for sure. And I talked to guys at the books, and Jeff Sherman just don't know. Nope, we took 3 bets on the Chiefs -4. That was it.
Mitch and Paulie, Follow the Money, weekday morning 7 to 10 Eastern on VSIN, discussing the line for the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game in the AFC Championship. The Chiefs at 1 point, a 2.5-point favorite, now laying 3, the total 53.5 at Arrowhead. In the NFC title game, the Green Bay Packers, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's another huge weekend of the NFL, but your betting card is full every day of the week with the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN All-Access subscriber today, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at vsin.com/subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets, bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit VSiN.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Okay, we welcome you in on a Friday edition. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, of course, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. He's there in Jersey. And it appears, my friend, we do this much too often. Yesterday with Ted Thompson, today a true legend in every sense of the word, the home run king. And he is just that civil rights activist, philanthropist. Hank Aaron passes away today at the age of 86.
Yeah, the pride of Mobile, Alabama, one of the great, great players. I mean, I, as a kid growing up, in fact, over here in my office, I've got my Stratomatic baseball set that I played when I was 13 or 14, and I got a Hank Aaron card in there because he was really, truly one of the heroes of the game, in spite, Patrick, in spite of wearing one of the worst uniforms ever created in all of sports, okay? Could there have been a worse uniform for the poor man? I mean, seriously, he gave dignity to that uniform. Now, you know, so, yeah, it's really sad. I was fortunate enough to grow up and watch him play baseball, and the power and his ability to hit home runs, have RBIs. I mean, he was really, truly a all well-rounded player. It just wasn't home run or strikeout. He was truly a well-rounded player.
Well, you nailed it. As far as if you take away his 755 home runs, and by the way, that's the mark, but if you take away those home runs, he still had over 3,000 hits. I mean, this guy, a 25-time All-Star, a tremendous glove, but also just a great human being. You know, I've talked to people in the past when he's walked into a room, that meant something. Hank Aaron passes today at the age of 86. It feels like a deluge, right, lately.
Yeah, but at least, you know, Hammer and Hank was a Browns fan, believe it or not. Huge Cleveland Browns fan. He would come to practice when I was in Cleveland.
Really?
You know, he'd sign baseballs endlessly for anybody who wanted them. And, you know, loved the Browns. So at least he got to experience before he passed away and went to a better place to watch the Browns in a playoff game from the last time, you know, win a playoff game and then compete in the divisional level. So, you know, that had to make him happy.
Rest in peace to a true legend, a definition of the word legend, Hammer and Hank Aaron. And yet, you know, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I read that he used to, like, travel to Cleveland and sit in the dog pound. I mean, he was a legit fan.
Yeah, he loved it. I mean, he was a huge baseball fan. And I asked him, I said, like, how did you, growing up in Mobile, Alabama, like, how would you get the Browns? And he said, well, there was a baseball team called the St. Louis Browns. And so I liked that. And then I could get it on the radio on some AM stations down here. You could get Browns games. And that's how he fell in love with the team. And, of course, Jim Brown and some of the players that played.
Who was Michael Lombardi's guy growing up? So when I just say, so for me, it, you know, John Elway for some reason really resonated for me as a kid. But who was your guy growing up?
I mean, I loved Hank Aaron. When I played Stratomatic baseball with Cenino and Reynolds for endless hours, you know, I was the Braves. I loved the Braves. I had that team. I had everybody there. And so I liked Aaron. You know, I was a Phillies fan. I loved Dick Allen. I thought Richie Allen was one of the best players in all of baseball. He passed away this year as well. You know, so that era and, you know, the Cincinnati Big Red Machine was so good with Johnny Bench. I was a catcher, you know, in Little League and high school baseball. And so I loved Johnny Bench and loved all the catchers. But, you know, I grew up mostly a Yankee fan down here. My father was a Yankee fan, so I became a Yankee fan. And a lot of the players from the Yankees, when I was younger, they were not very good. As I got older in college, they became very good.
Mobile, Alabama loses a legend. So does, as far as civil rights and just what he meant to society. I mean, just unbelievable. And he, you know what? Cognitively, was great, looked great. 86 years old, so there he goes. Hammer and Hank, R.I.P.
As Al Davis would say, I have no more tears. You know, when someone like this died, he would always say, I have no more tears, and I think that's right.
The celebration. Okay, we transition here on the Lombardi Line again, presented by BetMGM. Of course, Championship Sunday coming up. Two big games, obviously. I'll just give the number, then we'll move on to some headlines here. Green Bay's up to 3.5. That's pretty consistent across the board. Kansas City still 110 on the juice. That means it's really not going anywhere right now. Kansas City laying the 3. I see Circa's gone to 15. BetMGM has 10 juice, so that's your standard juice. Now, let's back up a little bit to yesterday. Three coaches were introduced. You had Robert Saleh as the Jets head coach, Brandon Staley as the Chargers head coach. Saleh was talking about all gas, no brakes. Staley was talking about, of course, creating an environment. And my coach, Dan Campbell, was talking about eating kneecaps.
Yeah, you could see Chris Spielman's influence tremendously in the hire of Dan Campbell. It's all about toughness, pad level, you know, and I talk to a lot of people in the league that say this is authentic. This isn't just for the press conference, which it needs to be. You know, it needs to be authentic. You can't have it the other way. It can't be phony leadership. He's got to be that way every single day. And if he wants to be the dude from Big Lebowski and Jeff Bridges, then it's got to show up every day. But we know this, Patrick. Football is an intellectual game. You need smart coordinators. You need people that can adjust during the game. It's a game of toughness. It's a game of pad level. No getting wrong there. But you better be really good at adjustment. Now, what I think this six-year contract is significant in this sense. I think that perhaps maybe they'll trade Matthew Stafford. Because if you're going to give a coach with no head coaching experience, I know he was an interim coach, but if you're going to give a coach with no head coaching experience 6 years, which is out of the norm of the traditional coach, then you're telling me that you've got some things you're planning on the reconstruction of the team, and you can't look any further than Matthew Stafford as your number one asset to rebuild the team.
You generally look to philosophy as far as how he rounds out his coaching staff. Looks like Campbell's going to go Aaron Glenn as the defensive coordinator. You remember Aaron Glenn, 14, 15 seasons, DB, what, Texas A&M, I believe. And then Ike Hilliard.
Yes, he was.
Ike Hilliard, right, Michael, who was running the wide receivers there with Pittsburgh. That's potentially going to be his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so, you know, he's obviously going to, I don't know what he'll be. I'm surprised he went New Orleans defense with Aaron Glenn, and not New Orleans offense.
Right.
I thought he would bring somebody, but Joe Lombardi, no relation to me, but related to Vince Lombardi, his grandson is up for the Seattle job as the offensive coordinator. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think he's also up for another job. I thought he might take Lombardi with him, but remember, Lombardi was in Detroit at one time and got fired as the offensive coordinator. That's when Darrell Bevell took over.
Yeah, I, as a Detroit fan, I would say I wasn't. Maybe he's evolved. Let's just say that about Joe Lombardi. Remember, Jim Bob Cooter took over, had initial.
That's right. Jim Bob Cooter took over. That's right. Yeah.
And then he initially had a little hit, but the scheme was quickly figured out. Lombardi's anyway, I don't want to diminish anybody. Now, because I don't know the intricacies. The other hires, we know LaFleur's coming with Saleh to run the offense there with the Jets.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to run. They're going to run a play-action pass scheme. They're going to run Kyle Shanahan's offense without Kyle Shanahan. We'll see how that works out. You know, I think Saleh's comments today about how he wants all the players to get paid. He's going to do everything in his power to help the players get paid. I mean, look, that's great. But if you don't pay them, then they get mad at you. You know, and then you're the guy who's telling everybody he's going to get paid. Like, you don't want to get involved in contracts. Like, leave that alone. I would have said to him, Robert, look. Don't talk about getting paid. Talk about, you know, improving them. We're going to get the most out of every single player. They're going to have a rewarding career. Because once you don't pay a player, they're mad at you.
They get bitter at you. Well, they always look to the top. You know, and another announcement, then we'll move on to some other notes here. Nick Sirianni is the new football coach there with the Eagles. Now, a couple things. I had Sean Smith, who 10 years in the league. I'm sure you know him, Michael, defensive tackle, undrafted out of South Carolina. He's very outspoken. He came on my show last night. And you know what he said? He goes, I remember Nick Sirianni. He was constantly getting screamed at by Todd Haley in Kansas City, but everybody was getting screamed at by Todd Haley. I guess he was just referencing this is a quick ascent for Nick Sirianni, who, frankly, as a common football fan, most general football fans wouldn't know who he is.
You know, yeah. I mean, look, it's you're taking a guy who's never called one play. Now you're asking him to call plays and manage a game. Hard thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And you're asking him to come over and fix the quarterback situation. This is so reminiscent of the Eagles going back to their success of 17 and feeling and really saying to everybody with this hire, Frank Wright was responsible. Because Frank Wright influenced this hire tremendously. It was all Frank Wright. I mean, it had to be Frank Wright.
Yeah, of course.
Because
his
co-sign. There's no way you could – there's no way you could go – not only did he co-sign, he got him in the door.
Right.
Nobody was interviewing this guy. Nobody even had him on their list of five guys because he never called plays. He jumped the hurdle. Now, the Eagles think they're smarter than everybody else in the National Football League, and maybe they are. You know, maybe they are. But this is going to have a hard – this is going to have to convince me that this was the right hire. Who's his defensive coordinator? Here's what the Eagles truly believe. The Eagles believe is the organization that carries the head coach, not the head coach carries the organization.
Feels like a controllable asset, if that makes sense, for Mr. Roseman. He can control
it.
I mean, McDaniels is a big-time personality. McDaniels is not going to be pushed around.
Well, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I can honestly say this, dude. There is just no way. You put Nick in a room and you put Josh in a room and you start talking football.
Right.
and there's no chance. It's close. Like, it's not even close. And how could it be? That's not a slap at Nick. He's never been through it. He's never been through it. And it's funny. You know, everybody says, well, you know, everybody kind of knows what New England does. No one knows what New England does. Trust me on that. Like, they think they know, but they really don't. The reality here is the Eagles picked a coach that fits them. He fits what they want. Again, the organization carries the head coach, not the head coach carries the organization.
Yeah, and again, here on VSiN, we set up these coaching hires. We set up the philosophy with DC and OC because we're looking ahead eventually to the futures market. And, you know, it's so – Sean said the same thing. He said he worked with Mangenius and, you know, Mangini, Cleveland the second time around. And I'm thinking about Quinn Tricia. Everybody that leaves the Patriots, they have this swagger about them because somehow osmosisly it rubbed off on them from Bill Belichick. There's one Bill Belichick, and everybody else, they're pretending
That's
once
right.
they leave that organization.
Right. And I think, look, I think that this hire is, if we're bettors, whatever, and I think Vegas is going to take that in. I would be shocked if the Eagle win total is above 6.5 next year.
It looks like Arthur Smith is going to get some experience, right? So Dean Pease, is he going to join Arthur Smith as the defensive coordinator?
Dean Pease has retired and unretired more than Sinatra. I mean, he's done Jay-Z. I mean, he's been really good at it. I mean, like, this guy has retired, unretired. Like, I think he just retires so he doesn't get fired. Now, here's what I do know. I think Arthur Smith was the guy they wanted in Philly all along. I do. I think he was the guy they wanted in Philly all along. Philly will deny that they offered him a job. I think that's what my sources say. That's where that was going. Smith chose Atlanta over Philly. He could have had either job. He chose Atlanta.
Well, I know I want his bank account. His dad, ever since you told me about his dad starting FedEx, I've been doing some research, and my man's doing okay regardless. Now, I'll one up
but
you.
But that means that's his daddy's money. You don't want your dad's money. You know that.
Hey, my dad worked at the post office. I'll take his cash. I'll one up you on retirements. Gary Kubiak just retired again. My man's just 59 years old. He's in and out.
I mean, these Sinatra guys, I mean, they make Sinatra look like he never did it before, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. Jay-Z pulled this off, too. It's like, how do you get it better? You know, and then it's like what Billy Joel and Elton John do. They go on these reunion tours that last 4 years. You know, it's like, seriously, you're in or you're out. Are you okay over there?
Okay? I'm like, because me and Stephanie, that's like the fourth Jay-Z reference. Were you bumping some Jay-Z driving to work today or something?
No, I wrote
Queen
a column
Bay.
About people that just I wrote a column about people that go in it that retire and then unretire. I mean, like, seriously, like what are you doing?
I know. That is hilarious, though. There was one more before we moved on that I wanted to bring up. Oh, you know what? Washington actually got a good guy. Martin Mayhew did a good job with Detroit. They went to the playoffs twice when he was picking players. He probably shouldn't have been fired. He was fired, then Quinn was brought in. I don't know if you know much about Mayhew. Bright guy, but he's in there with Herney with the Washington football team.
Yeah, and they all report to, and look, they all were going to report to, they're going to report to
Rivera.
Ron Rivera. So yep. They're in there. They're helping him. Everybody will be on the same page. This is kind of way you, I think, the organization has to run different than Philly. Like Washington has values. The Washington wants the head coach to carry the organization. It's the opposite of Philly.
All right, Michael, football playoffs, basketball, hockey, everything right here. BetMGM Sports has you covered. All your favorite wagering options, boosted odds specials, much more. Download the BetMGM app today. When you're here in town, bring your state-issued ID anywhere on the strip. Come into an MGM casino and boom, you're ready to go. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We've got Eddie Olczyk joining us. Pegasus coming up, Gulfstream Park tomorrow. We'll get into that. Josh is going to come around as well. I want to do a couple things. One, when we come back, you got the back-to-back Celtics. Let's do a 76ers tune-up. Let's get your vibe on tonight, and then we'll also go over some prop bets. It is interesting how they're doing this, where you know teams are just sticking around, and you're seeing that as a better, Michael, you get some familiarity with the matchups with the Celtics and 76ers again.
No doubt. I mean, the line was 5.5 the last time they played on Tuesday on Wednesday night. Now it's down to 4.5 That line closed at 5, so we'll see what happens.
Yep, 100%. So we'll get to that. Plenty to do, a ton as far as hoops are concerned. 13 in the NBA. I think over 40 college hoops today. We looked at a couple. 8 on the ice. Josh Applebaum, of course, will have plenty for us there. Again, we'll get into the horse racing as well with Eddie O. And Mr. Jay-Z, Michael Lombardi, is going to come back and recite some Reasonable Doubt lyrics. That's his first album. We're coming back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Faulkner. We're coming back here. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Today, become a VSiN All Access member. Okay, so you're going to get the VSiN betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship weekend, every sport in action. Remember, we got MMA coming up as well, less than $22 per month. You're going to receive daily emails with our best bets from the guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly. You get all the betting guides. I mean, it's all there. It's vsin.com/subscribe. All right, we welcome you back. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. That's Michael Lombardi. You can't knock the hustle. He's big pimping. There we have. He's laughing. I got him to laugh. Hey, it is official, and we'll throw up some props as far as the game. But Arians has ruled out Antonio Brown for the game. So, listen, the receivers didn't do anything last week in the win against New Orleans. I'm talking Evans was mitigated. Godwin was mitigated. Brown was injured, and now he's officially out, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had a sense that that was going to happen. But look, they've got good matchups everywhere, right? You know, they've got to get the ball to Mike Evans. They've got to get the ball to Godwin. And then these other kids, Johnson made a huge play last week when Brown got hurt. So they're going to have to find a way to get that. And, of course, they still have Gronk and Brate. I don't think they have a matchup problem. I think they're going to have to make sure they can really handle the protection issue. They've got to be handle the edges. And they've got to be able to run the football a little bit. One thing about Mike Pettine. We've seen this before in the playoffs. You could attack Mike Pettine in the run game. And Brady's very good at changing the Mike points and getting them to get the blocker on the run force player and then being able to run the football. And that comes from the quarterback's ability. And with no crowd noise in the stadium, I know they'll have a few fans there. I really believe that that's going to be the key. They've got to run the ball, slow this game down a little bit. They need this ball 35, 36 minutes and limit the amount of time Aaron Rodgers has to come back at them.
Okay, quickly, we're going to transition a little 76ers tune-up here with Michael Lombardi. Remember, last night we recommended the under. That did cash Lakers-Milwaukee. Lakers closed, I believe, a two-point dog at most books and a straight-up winner, 113-106. They've been dogs now, I think, 9 or 10 times with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. There you see it, a 1.5-point dog, a straight-up winner for the Lakers. They're like 8-1 ATS, 9-1 ATS as dogs, so they care. They take note, Michael.
Why were the Bucks in blue uniforms last night? Can anybody explain that to me?
Can you explain any of the themes? Can you explain any? Anytime I turn a game on, I'm like,
where were those uniforms?
What's Fuchsia doing with the Pistons? Right?
Yeah. I mean, look, this Laker team, I mean, Will Hill has put together one hell of a team. I mean, you got Schroeder, you got, you know, I mean,
they're great. They're much better than they were last year. The Lakers are.
They are way better than they were last year. They are going to be so hard to play. I mean, I don't know. You know, they're toying with people right now. They're toying with them.
Well, think about it. Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
I mean, you got to give full credit to Will Hill, the way he assembled this team, and he's been polishing that trophy. I mean, my Lord, you know, he was the first one to say, we got to get Schroeder, you know, and the Harrell signing is, wow. To me, that really makes them a different team.
Last year, 1-2 in voting for sixth man was Harrell and Schroeder. This year, they're on the Lakers.
But we have a cap in basketball. That's what I love. And they have two of the highest paid players on the team. Like, seriously,
I think you got to put your boy William Hill on timeout. I mean, he was texting me like 3 o'clock in the morning his time about Trevor Bauer and what team he's going to end up with. I mean, does he have children? What's going on there? We got to figure this out with William.
Look, you just, you know, when he starts, like, here's, can I predict the text I'm going to get on Sunday? I hate having to wait till 3 o'clock for the game. Like, Will, do something else. Like, you know, go, you know, clean the garage. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Hey,
have you ever heard of Sudoku?
Go clean the garage. Take the kids for a walk. Do something, you know? Like, don't complain to me of the scheduling. Like, I can't do anything about it. Like, I don't know what I want to do. But I do think, let's go back to Philly and Boston. It's interesting how that line dropped. Like, I lean towards taking Boston here because I think Boston's going to nail down. This is like a playoff game the way they're playing these.
No Tatum.
Because the Celtics have time. Yeah, no, I know that, but they have time to kind of regroup.
Sure.
And I don't think you could count on Embiid getting 21 free throws in this game as much as the Celtics were complaining the last game.
I think you bring up a great point. The playoff scenario is a wonderful one. So good coaches like Stevens have time to adjust to what they just saw. I think, but you were bullish on your 76ers coming out of that matchup. Let's be fair.
Right. I am. And look, they get Steph Curry back tonight. That'll certainly help. And you know, Maxey will play a little better. Didn't score any points in the last game. But the reality here is I just think there'll be an adjustment to the game from the Celtics.
Okay. We're going to bring our buddy, Eddie Olczyk. He's the best in the business with the ponies and with the hockey. The Pegasus World Cup coming up tomorrow. It's $3 million in a purse. Knicks Go is your favorite at 5-2. We'll talk to Eddie next right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. World Cup week, and First Bet is giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. It's easy. Visit vsin.com/horses to sign up, place a win bet, and if your horse doesn't win, you get your money back up to $20. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. Visit vsin.com/horses to sign up for this special Pegasus World Cup offer today. So for me, my favorite guest has to be Eddie Olczyk, of course, whether it's the hockey, Express Bet, First Bet, nobody's better than Eddie, and he joins us now. And Eddie, as you're joining us, I'm thinking about this Knicks Go morning line 5-2 favorite. We'll get into that horse and the field as far as the Pegasus World Cup. Now, this started in 2017. Maybe you can walk walk us through the inception of this. I believe when Arrowgate won initially, it was like a $12 million purse.
Well, Patrick, Michael, nice to be with you guys. Happy New Year. Always good to chat with you guys. And yeah, Pucks and Ponies are going strong in my world right now with the National Hockey League just kicking off. And we got the Pegasus tomorrow, Patrick. And yeah, you're right. It did start a few years ago with Arrowgate. And the mindset was, it was almost like, playing in a poker tournament where the owners put up $1 million each to get an entrant or get a stall to be able to start. And, you know, it was a unique idea. I think there are a lot of people that sat there and was like, oh, wow, you know, and horse racing's kind of always been, you know, stay the course, don't try anything. And I think the Stronach group, Frank Stronach and Belinda Stronach, just said, you know what, let's try something different. So you're right, it was $12 million. And the following year, I think it went up to about $18 million. And now it's kind of gone back to a normal, setting as far as the state and the racetrack putting up the money. But, it's a $3 million purse, which is pretty darn good. And it's had some incredible horses in there, and horses that you would expect to be overwhelming favorites. Now, Patrick, you mentioned Nick's Goal. I think there's no doubt that he will be the overwhelming favorite, but I don't think that he is in the class of what we've seen in the Pegasus over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. So it's a wide open race as far as the wagering aspect on the Pegasus World Cup tomorrow.
Eddie, give me the kind of horse you think wins this type of race on this track, this surface. And does Code of Honor fit the bill in terms of being the right horse for the right course?
Yeah, well, Michael, just full disclosure, he was my Derby pick back.
Me too.
Back in May of 19. hard to approach. We were, that's almost 2 years ago, and everybody remembers that for Maximum Security being the first horse to cross the line first in the Kentucky Derby and then be disqualified, and rightfully so. I had him. That was my pick. He went off at almost 15-1. He was pushed up to second, but I don't know. I don't know if he's the same horse that he was maybe 8 or 10 months ago. I think the race certainly sets up for him, but I'm definitely using Code of Honor. I love the connections in Shug McGahee, Hall of Famer, and Tyler Gaffleon, who's having a tremendous meet down at Gulfstream. But he's the type of horse you're not going to see early. I think you're going to see him coming late. So I think if you're playing exactas or trifectas, I would be using them on the bottom, second or third. Am I going to use them on some tickets on top? I'm not so sure, but I think he's a horse you definitely have to think about, because I think there's going to be some pace in this race, and the faster they go, it's going to be better for horses like Code of Honor to be able to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, I love the little horse that could, that Michael just asked about. Code of Honor, 9-2 on the board. Eddie Olczyk joining us here, of course, Pegasus World Cup. Okay, Nick's Go is going to be the favorite, of course. You know, this was a mm-hmm. horse I used to bet all the time, Eddie, and would just get beat, and then he switches barns, right? He goes to Brad Cox, and the last time out, we saw him win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So he's a sprinter, and he's breaking out of the four hole here.
Yeah, he is the speed of the race, but I think there's other speed in there, Patrick. I mean, I know my Express Bet account is going to get a major workout tomorrow, and I'm also playing in the big Pegasus World Cup betting challenge tomorrow, where there's going to be a couple $100,000 on the line. So I'm hoping to be able to do what I did in the inaugural run of the betting challenge for the Pegasus a couple years ago, when I was able to win the tournament on the last race. But, you know, Nick's Go is going to see some pace up front. I mean, he is going to see a horse like Last Judgment, I think, that has some speed. Tax all of a sudden went wire to wire in his last win at Gulfstream. Very impressive. So I think there's going to be a quick racer. The question that I have, and look, you got Joel Rosario, who's as good as there is as far as a jockey, is can this horse take these races from Kentucky to Florida? That's the question that I have. And I'm not using Nick's Go. I'm going to try to beat the favorite. And I'm banking on a real quick pace and hoping that those horses, as I mentioned, will be able to put a little bit of pressure on Nick's Go. Now, I will say is that if these other jockeys say, well, we're just going to let Nick's Go and then you know, we're going to expect him to come back to the pack and go by. That's not going to happen. So I'm expecting these jockeys to ride these races. Like, look, at the only chance that I have, I believe anyways, the only way for Tax to win, in my opinion, is if he gets close to the front. Last Judgment, the only way that he can win with Paco Lopez, a jockey who is who likes to be on the front end. I think they got to send their horses. So the quicker they go, the better for me, for my pick. And I'm going to go to Jesus's Team, which is just on the outside of Nick's Goal, the 5 horse. I'm going to build all of my tickets around the 5. Now, just full disclosure, Jesus's Team ran second to Nick's Go in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Keeneland in November. Since that time, Jesus's Team has run a race in December at Gulfstream Park. So it's a big step up. This horse was running for $25,000. We could have bought this horse, Patrick and Michael, back in May for $25,000. And since that point, if I do a quick little math here, this horse has made just under $500,000 since that race. So that's a pretty good investment since last May, if we could have put some money together and pick up Jesus's Team. But I'm hoping for a quick pace. Jesus's Team gets a good trip, stays on the rail, and I'm expecting every bit of 5 or 6 to 1 on the 5 horse tomorrow to win the Pegasus World Cup Invitational.
Okay, Eddie, got a minute here. First Bet is giving VSiN listeners a $20 risk-free bet on the Pegasus World Cup. If you had to pick one horse to put $20 on, which one is it?
How about giving people an exacta? Let's give them a 5-10 exacta, $20 5-10 exacta, meaning the 5 Jesus's Team has got to win, and the 10 Code of Honor has got to finish second. So I think a $20 investment for that wager, I think 5-10 will probably pay about $58. So you've turned $20 into $580. That's a pretty good investment.
My man's modest. He wins these tournaments all over the place. Then he's the best at talking hockey as well. He's Eddie Olchek. Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. See ya.
He is tremendous. And how about Michael Lombardi with the Code of Honor? That's my horse, Michael. Good job bringing up code. When we come back,
yeah,
I loved it.
I remember what you say, Jay-Z. I got you.
Jay-Z now. Okay, I'll take it. When we come back, Provolone. He's joining us.
Here comes Steam.
Market Insights.
Oh, yeah.
Steam's coming. Josh Applebaum.
Yeah.
GM, chance to win $100. Place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app and make sure your bet is registered. Just use the bonus code VSIN100. Paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older. Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Okay, thank you to Eddie Olchek for joining us. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Happy Friday. Sad news, Hammer and Hank has passed away at the age of 86. That's the way we open the show. We now transition to good news. It's Josh Applebaum. Market Insights 46 minutes ago drops the podcast, bsin.com/podcast. Good morning. Well, I should say good afternoon where you are, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great, Patrick. Michael, happy Friday here. And Patrick, got some great news for sports bettors all across America. And I know this will be near and dear to your heart as a native son of Michigan here. But over the past 2 days, some great news here. We saw Virginia go legal with live legal operational sports betting here. So add that to the list. Virginia is now the first state in 2021 to go legal. That's now 20 states now with legal sports betting that's operational in America. So we have 40% of the country with legal sports betting. But then, Patrick, the big one here for you, you grew up in Michigan. I know it's a big day for your family back home. And next time you're back in Michigan here, you can fire up all the apps, my man, because today at noon, Michigan went live with app online betting. There are 10 different apps you can get in Michigan now. But make our buddy TG very happy. Get the BetMGM app. And Patrick, you can now bet your guy Dan Campbell to break a kneecap and maybe cover a line next year.
Yes, I talked to my mom yesterday, Michael, and she said, Patrick, that gambling show you work on, do you have any tips that you can pass along? Because I think I can gamble here now legally. And I said, yes, Mom, you can. And it is a gambling show. It's called VSiN. Okay, you've heard of it. So, yes, legal in Michigan, legal in Virginia. It's only a matter of time until we open it up. We got a play in the Big Ten coming up with you, Josh. I know there's a couple questions in regards to the championship weekend. And you wanted to ask Michael.
Yeah, I want to get Michael's thoughts here, kind of going a different direction because, you know, this weekend we'll be breaking down the spreads and really looking at all the different angles and late action coming in. But Michael, I was doing some research here, AFC, NFC championship games, and what we've seen over the past decade, 2010 until now, is that in these championship games, the favorites are 14-6 straight up. So they're winning these games 70% of the time. Look at the home favorites. They are 12-4 straight up. So you're looking at a 75% win rate. So I know a lot of bettors this weekend will be probably moneyline parlaying the Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But Michael, if you could only pick one favorite, one home favorite to win the game, you don't care about the spread. You just need to win the game. You can get Green Bay minus 175 on the money line. You can get KC minus 165 on the money line. If you think one of these teams will win, who are you going with this weekend?
I'm going to go with Green Bay. You know, everybody's talking about the concussion on Patrick Mahomes. We have no doubt he's going to play. I'm worried about that toe. That toe is, to me, was, I thought it was bad during the game. I was on the couch with Bill and I were watching it. Happy birthday, Bill. I was watching that, you know, and I said, that toe's bad. Mick, Matt, all my kids, we were all watching it. Like, that toe's bad. And I think it's his lack of mobility because of the concussion. It can make him vulnerable in that pocket. Now, look, I know Buffalo doesn't have great pass rush. I get that. But I don't know how well he can play. He'll play well enough. He'll look still great as a quarterback. But if there's one upset, I think it could be Buffalo.
All right, there it is. And by the way, Josh, I don't know if you have thoughts. Of course, we've been talking about the number incessantly, but as far as the totals, we know the weather, as Michael says all the time, you expect bad weather in January, Lambeau, Arrowhead, of course, as well. The totals right now, where are you as far as if you can project? Now, we'll be here tomorrow. Where do you think those totals end up on Sunday?
Yeah, interesting movement here, Patrick. And here's another one I want to throw at Michael because, you know, we have seen the same sort of time frame, 2010 to now. You've seen these conference championship overs do pretty well. They're about 57% over the last decade. So what's interesting to me, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, we did just see Antonio Brown is ruled out for this game. Both of these teams are pretty good to the over this year. Tampa Bay 10-8 to the over, Green Bay 10-7 to the over. We do know there will be some weather issues at Lambeau. It's going to be pretty cold, low 20s. You're going to get some snow. You could get around 3 inches of snow when it's all said and done. You're going to have about, you know, 10-mile-an-hour winds here. So weather could be a factor. What's intriguing to me, Michael, I'll throw it at you. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, early on, we saw a lot of under money come in. That line was like 52 down to 50. But over the last 24 hours, we're starting to see a lot of over buyback. That yesterday, the line was 51.5. Now it's 52. It's kind of trending upward a little bit. So just your thoughts on the total in this game. Do you foresee this being a low-scoring game, or do you think these offenses could get going here and take that over, even though we may have some weather at Lambeau?
Oh, I think it's going to be a game in the 20s. I think the Packers could get to 30, and I think the Bucs will definitely get to, you know, 24. I could see it that being. I mean, that number to me at 52 is like 28-24 game, right? That's like what I think this game should be. Packers cover. You know, this has also one of these games, Josh. I don't know how you, what your 10-year research has done, but it always seems like one of these games is a blowout. One of these games, the one team really dominates. You know, I remember I used to tell my sons, I'm like, there's always, this is a 50-50 split game. It's usually one. We got ready to play Baltimore in the championship game in 2000. And that game was, I mean, the Giants just destroyed Minnesota at home that game. And I thought, oh, this is bad news for us. This is really, you know, and we got beat by Baltimore. They were the better team that day. So I've always worried about that. You know, If I was working for if I was working for Buffalo or for Kansas City, I would be worried. If Green Bay wins, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be hard for us to cover.
Okay, I want to transition. The Big Ten in college hoops this year has been absolutely so deep and brutal. Last night was a good example of that, Josh. Iowa laying 11 at home, Indiana straight up winner. It's an impossible conference to forecast. Now, this matchup tonight, Michigan and Purdue. Michigan got humbled last week, remember, against Michigan. They turn around, they pummel Maryland. They're a very complete team. In fact, one of the most complete teams in all the nation. Now, Purdue, they're red hot as well. 4-0 straight up in ATS, their last four. This number right now in Indiana at Purdue, Michigan laying 4 and a total of 139, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick. So today we have a ton of games here, like 40 plus college basketball games. This is really your big kind of ranked matchup.
Big one.
Yeah, huge one here. And this one, what jumps out to me is it's one of the most lopsided games of the night. It's one of the few games here with a really highly ranked team going up against an unranked team. So I think on the surface, you look at Michigan, Juwan Howard has been doing, you know, great with that school here. 12-1, just got their first loss recently. But this is a really public play here toward Michigan here. I think you had a little bit of maybe some smart money when it first opened, because this line actually opened Michigan -2. But it's been bet up now all the way to 4. And in these situations, to me, my radar ticks up anytime you see a ranked team with a big line move and you can kind of buck that trend and kind of buy low on an unranked team at home. So I'm looking at Purdue in this spot. You look at Purdue. You know, they're unranked, they're 11-5, but they've won, as you mentioned, Patrick, 4 straight. They beat Ohio State straight up 67-65. They're a 5.5-point dog in that game. So what I like about this one is an inflated line opportunity. You know, if you're going to lay Michigan -4 right now, you're getting the worst of the number. You could have gotten it earlier at 2 or lower. So I'm looking at Purdue, kind of a contrarian, unranked versus ranked, at home catching 4. And our guy Ken Pom, with his projections, he has Michigan winning by 3. So at this point, it looks like there's some value buying low on Purdue.
And can I just say, when Josh mentions worst of the number, we just mentioned Virginia and Michigan just joining us. Let me just quickly explain what he's talking about there. Michigan's laying 4 right now. If you get early on this game, you could have got 2, 2.5. If you open up your bet tonight and you want to bet this game and you like Michigan, you're not betting a good number, okay? You could have looked, you'd done a little research, got on that earlier, Michael. It's very important to be fastidious when it comes to these games.
Yeah, you know, but Michigan's been really friendly for the better. They're 10-3 against the spread, so they've been really good. I mean, they've been complete. Their defense gives up 66 points a night. I mean, their point differential, Patrick, is 14.1.
Oh, they're tremendous.
I mean,
that's
really remarkable. I mean, so, you know, it's going to take everything. And I would lean toward what Josh is saying here because of the crowd at the Purdue, hard place to play, West Lafayette, Mackey Arena, all that. But just worries you a little bit about, with no fans there, how the offense and, you know, I mean, let's face it, Purdue's got to shoot from the three-point line as well as they've ever have in this game to win. And, you know, they're 7-8-1 against the spread. So, you know, college hoops is hard to handicap, partly because of that momentum and that energy that you create from your home arena.
No, they score. Michigan scores. They defend. Hunter Dickinson, the freshman center, has been awesome for Juwan Howard. He's doing a very good job with that program, picking up where I think the best coach in college hoops that's not coaching, John Beilein, where he left off. Hey, quickly, before we go, Josh, we were talking about Boston, your team there, 76ers, Michael's team. We're coming back. I mean, it was a cover, an easy cover for the 76ers. It looks like it's 4.5 right now.
Yeah, it's 4.5, Patrick, and you do have kind of a split ticket count. Public really don't know where to go on this game, but this was 4.5. At one time, it ticked up to 5, down to 4.5. The one thing I'm interested to see here, and again, I do have a lot of good systems on in the NBA. One thing that has done very well is these road dogs in general. You know, road dogs are cashing 57% ATS so far this year. You also look at Brad Stevens as a road dog. You know, he lost his last game. Celtics were in it the whole time and then kind of, you know, crumbled at the end. Jason Tatum, we don't know. As of now, I don't think he's going to play.
He's not going to play.
Yeah, so there we go. That's a big factor there, Patrick. But I wanted to ask Michael, free throw discrepancies. Marcus Smart's losing his mind. Embiid's getting the line 100 times. Celtics can't get a bucket here. You know I'm a Celts guy, but what's up with the officiating? Do we see the officials maybe kind of lean it back to the Celtics after last game?
I do. It's like Jay-Z says, man, it's in the heart of the city. It's the city of Philadelphia. You got to go with it. There you go, Patrick. There you go.
That is, that's called bookending. You put a bow on the show. Hey, quickly before
I put a bow on this show.
That's tremendous. Quickly before we get out of here, a gentleman that's worked on this show and done a great job for the network. Brendan is moving back to Colorado. Brendan, homie, good luck moving back with the hippies there in
Denver.
Thanks,
Brendan. Appreciate
Thank you very much for your help. You've done an amazing job for us and helped grow the network. Brendan, you'll be missed. Michael, Josh, we'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Can't wait,
guys. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, good luck in Colorado. There it is, Brendan. The Edge is next.